Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good week, good year. Welcome to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. That means I am unavailable for anything less than love. I will not devolve my journey, my goals, my desires, or my activities toward things lesser than love, because those things become BS, which in a light form, L-I-T-E, lighter form, can be bait and switch. And I'm just not going to bait and switch people. I'm not going to BS you. I'm not going to let my life become something other than the beauty, the significance, and the weight of love. And that's why I'm here every week, to invite you to a journey, invite you to a time to unpack and to think through what love looks like. I know everybody, or at least I hope everybody out there is contemplating the notion that we really, all of us, need more love. I hope you're all thinking like that. But if you're not, I invite you to. And if you are, I hope you're not just living on the surface side of what love looks like. We are being invited to an intellectual, philosophical, theological, transcendental power of love in all that we are and all that we do. So to do that requires some conversation. It requires some teaching, some training, some application, some inventory of our own personal life. So that's why I'm here, is to carry you toward those goals, okay? So every week here on the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, I'm offering Love's Creed to you, so that through a creed you can confess and declare yourself available to one thing and one thing alone, and that's love. I'm here to suggest and invite that all things in this creed can become a basket with which to carry your priorities, with which to carry your desires and dreams and hopes. All right, so I'll read it through in total as I do every week. Then I'll go back, as I do every week, and I'll repeat it like a vow at a wedding altar. And then I'll invite you to join me in saying it after me when I do it in the short bursts. All right, but first, here it is in total. Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. There it is. That's it in total. If you'd like a copy of this, send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Be happy to send a copy to you. Not going to use the email for an email list or a fundraising scheme. That's BS, and I don't want to BS you, remember? So here it is, Love's Creed, in short bursts, like a vow at a wedding altar. Give it to you a few words at a time, and you repeat after me, so your ears can hear, and your heart can resonate to that which you have just confessed. Here we go. I'm alive to love. Repeat after me. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. So there you have it, Love's Creed. It's something I wrote about a decade ago, and I've refined it a few times, but I keep it in front of me every week. It's always in front of me, not just to put it before you, but to put it before my priorities as a living, breathing, walking, regular human being. Remembering that most of life is lived in the gritty, down and dirty, regular stuff of washing dishes and taking out the trash and watching the news, turning the corner in the street to go somewhere. That's life. That's the regularity of life, where we are all living our workaday regular routines. So in those regular routines, we need something to be an anchor. We need something to be a posit for our deposits to be held. And I think Love's Creed is a good thing to do in that regard. So I want to come at this again today from another vantage point, and I want to suggest this phrase to you. This is something I've written and I believe is absolutely true. Our world is waiting for powerful people to show up. I see that. I see that whether it's in public school or in church or in businesses or in enterprises or politics, wherever it is, our world is waiting for powerful people to show up. Now, let me qualify that, though. Our world is not looking for bullying, controlling, bossy, fear-mongering people. We tend to define powerful as bullies or people who control or fear-monger, or they get their way. But I don't believe that's true human power. I believe our world is waiting for people of vision, people of purpose, people of imagination and authenticity. I am convinced, simply and profoundly, that our world is waiting for and crying out for the appearance of people who are powerful because they are alive with faith, hope, and especially radiant love, no matter what their challenges are. I believe the world wants that from me. They want that from you. Now, again, you could be in business, you could be a janitor, you could be a lunchroom cook, you could be a table server, you could be a pastor, you could be a lawyer, a doctor, whatever the case may be. I'm convinced the world wants you to be powerful, but not powerful because you're controlling or unloving or you're pushy or a bully. That's not powerful. In fact, that's a betrayal of how weak and insecure we are when we behave in that manner. But to be people of power is to be people who are alive with faith, hope, and especially love. To be alive, truly alive. I'm alive to love is what my creed says. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. The world is waiting for folks who are powerful with the qualities of faith, hope, and especially love. The Bible says faith, hope, and love, they continue. They will never go away. But the greatest of those three is love, the greatest quality of the three pillars of humanity, pillars of human beauty. The three, faith, hope, and love, are especially punctuated by love. And to that end, we become powerful when we reject indifference. We reject indifference in our day-to-day world. We reject indifference toward anybody, anywhere, at any time. It could be as simple as opening a door for a stranger. It can be as simple as being patient at a traffic intersection or a stoplight. We reject indifference. We learn to reject indifference. I'm not suggesting we're perfect. I'm not suggesting that somehow we've pulled off the impossible of always being on. But in general, we're not indifferent. We've decided, again, according to my creed, I'm alive to love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm eating, sleeping, and breathing in order to regain energy to stay alive with every moment, to be not to exhaust myself, but not to turn myself off and on and be indifferent at times and, you know, tuned in at times. No, love asks of me to live without the drag of indifference. You see, I believe when we live to love, We accept the possibility that our love is going to be challenged. It'll be rejected. It may be unnoticed. And even if, you know, if I open a door for a stranger and that stranger doesn't even grunt thank you, that doesn't matter. I've stayed alive. I'm staying in the livelihood of the beauty of love. I said one time many years ago, imagination rejects indifference. So if I can imagine a world where I'm living alive to love, to imagine being alive to love at all times, at all places, with all people, well, now I just have to look at indifference as an enemy to my own soul, an enemy to my own sharp focus in life. I hope you hear that I'm not suggesting that we exhaust ourselves with this. However, I am suggesting that we do spend our energies well, that we spend our energy in this one and only life with love, to be powerful with love, to be powerful as often as we are able to call ourselves to that attentiveness, tuned, to attune ourselves, to strictly make sure that the receiver of our life is toward that love that comes from God. The Bible says, God is love, love is God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. The one who loves is born of God. I believe that love is the evidence that God is connected with my life. Love is that one quality that comes snapping to in terms of my eyes, my walk, how I carry myself through any place. I could be just simply walking an empty hallway, but I hope that if I'm walking an empty hallway, not aware of anybody around me, that love is still on, and that my antenna is receiving it, and that my transmitter is giving it. I used to wear a clerical collar all the time as a pastor. I can now on occasions when it is required of me and needed, and if I find it necessary. But it was my habit of several years, actually, to wear a clerical collar. When I would go into hospitals, I found that clerical collar was very useful, very helpful. People understood why I was there in general. And I gained attention. Most of that attention was very desirable. I'll never forget one time walking down a hallway. I had visited a parishioner and I had my collar on. Once again, I that collar was kind of a ticket to enter. It was a ticket to be trusted. Of course, it could be abused, but in my life, it was never abused. It was always used for serving purposes. Well, anyway, I was walking down a hospital corridor, and while I walked down this corridor, I passed by, and my behavior when I wore my collar was to be tuned in, to be attentive, to reject indifference. I really kept that clicked in my mind. Do not be indifferent when you wear this collar, because you're representing faith. You're representing God on some level. I was walking down this corridor and I heard the weak and weary cries of a man saying, "Oh, Father, Father, Reverend, please help me, please help me, please." It stopped me dead in my tracks. I stopped in that hallway and I stood a moment. I contemplated, because I had already registered with the nurse's station where I was going to be, and I didn't want to violate any hospital policies. But I stood there for a brief moment, seemed like an hour, considering what should I do. Well, I turned around, I headed back toward that door, but there was a group of medical personnel that had gone in there in between, and just those few seconds of my contemplation. And so I just stood at the door and I said a prayer. I didn't make a big show of it, but it registered with me that simple polyester cotton shirt with a little plastic tab on the neck collar sent a message. And it sent a message to a man who happened to see me walk past his room. And this man cried out weakly and just very desperate for help. You know, that's a personification to me of what the whole wide world is doing right now. Our world is waiting for powerful people to show up. You might be wearing a clerical collar, or maybe you can be identified as a doctor, and in that moment, somebody will cry out, "Doctor, please help me," or a nurse, "Please help me." Perhaps, you know, as a police officer, I've watched this in so many cases where a police officer shows up wearing that uniform, and that uniform just shouts authority. It shouts the ability to make things better. And our world is waiting for somebody who can make it better to show up. And they're not looking for bullying, controlling, bossy, or fear-mongering people, which you can get whether a person's wearing a clerical collar. They can be bullying and controlling. They can just force somebody to pray a prayer they're not ready to pray. Or you can be a police officer and be bullying and fear-mongering. But the world isn't looking for that, are they? They're looking for somebody in that police officer's uniform or in that priest's collar, that pastor's collar. They want love. They're looking for strong people, powerful people who have a powerful love that is radiant. It's effective, it's practical, it's useful, and it comes to bear on any situation they're in. When I was a little guy, I've shared with you a few times before, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. My home was riddled with alcoholism and drug abuse by one person of the four of us, and that was my brother. He, much later in life, in his 70s, he overdosed because of his drug abuse. But it was intentional. But that was his whole life. His whole life had been practiced that way. And so in my earliest memories as a little guy with my big brother, who was 6 years older than me, there was always something wrong. There was always something. He was always mad. He was always fighting. He was in particular with my father. And many, many, many long nights, my dad and my brother would get into these physical battles. And it would be bloody sometimes. It would be violent most times. It would be shouting and pushing and breaking things and swinging at each other. And my life was just one of staying out of the way. I learned the art, if you will, of staying out of the way. I don't want to get hit with those punches. I don't want to be a part of the fight. I don't want to be in the middle of the violence that's going on with you. And that's what I mean. That's not powerful. That's really the exposure of weakness, the exposure. When somebody's, quote-unquote, losing their temper, you're losing value when that happens. Well, anyway, another one of those violent nights had happened, and I was up, of course, because there was no sleeping in our tiny little apartment when that was going on. And I was standing at the door of my bedroom watching this incredible drama going on one more time, and my mother had gone looking for the beat cop. You know what a beat cop is? A beat cop in Milwaukee, where I grew up, was just the cop that was walking the street out in front of businesses and the apartments. Well, Mom had gotten this cop. She found him and brought him up into our apartment to break up the fight. And this big Polish fella, he looked like a giant to me. And he was standing there trying to get some order back between my brother and my dad. And that big Polish policeman looked at me. I was standing there in a terry cloth robe, shivering with shock and post-traumatic stress syndrome, I'm sure. And this big cop looked at me, and he pointed at me, and he shouted at my dad and my brother in particular. He said, "What about that kid right there? Doesn't anybody give a damn about him?" Well, in the moment, in that split second, it felt like I was struck by lightning. I had worked so hard to be invisible, so hard to not be a part of the violence, so hard not to be caught between my dad and my brother and my mother. But in that moment, suddenly this big, powerful, uniformed Milwaukee cop made me visible, pointed at me and said, "Doesn't anybody care about that kid right there?" In that split second, I couldn't give you a definition. I guess I was 11 maybe. I couldn't tell you what a definition of love was, but I knew love right there in that moment, in that powerful policeman, that powerful Polish cop. He wasn't bullying, he wasn't controlling, he was trying to get control of that little room there in that apartment. He wasn't bossy, and he sure wasn't fear-mongering. But he showed up with a purpose, and his uniform represented that purpose to me. And it became for me a moment of love. It became a moment for me that I recognized, wow, love showed up in the middle of our chaos. Love showed up in the middle of this terrible, terrible night. And I discovered that the premise of today's broadcast is our world is waiting for powerful people to show up. Not bullying, controlling, bossy, or fear-mongering people, but our world is waiting for people of vision, purpose, imagination, and authenticity. And simply and profoundly, I believe our world is crying out for the appearance of people who are alive with faith, hope, and especially radiant love. To me, that cop personified that. Gave me the opportunity to breathe a little bit more that day. And maybe some other days going forward. I don't remember in particular much after that, except he loved me. He showed love for me. So now I'm inviting you to see yourself in that light. See yourself as a powerful person, not a bully, not a fear-monger, not a controller, but a powerful person to show up with love. Like I walked that hospital hallway with a clerical, a preacher's collar on. A religious-looking collar, and it got a man's attention who cried out for help from me. He was hoping to find some reason to keep fighting his physical battle. So what if all of us carried something like that in our demeanor, in our thinking, in the way we conduct our life? Now, I said it earlier, too, that we should carry this and reject indifference even if you're alone. Reject indifference, especially if you're in a crowd. Reject indifference, no matter where you are, no matter what the situation, no matter how simple, ordinary the situation is. We all live ordinary lives. 99% of all of our lives are just taking out the trash and washing the dishes. 99% of our life is grabbing the vacuum cleaner. 99% of our life is making our bed. Or getting ready to go to bed. 99% of our life is made up of all those routines that aren't anything spectacular. There's no lightning and thunder in that. However, reject indifference even in those ordinary moments and call yourself up into love to be a powerful person even in your ordinary life, recognizing that the ordinary world is where 99% of us are functioning and laboring and sweating and laughing and crying, fighting forward somewhere, somehow, to just find significance in this big, tumultuous world. To be ordinary people with extraordinary purpose. Mother Teresa said it, we cannot do great things, but we can do small things with great love. I want to leave that with you today. We can all do small things with great love. If I can finish my day knowing that I'm alive to love, alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love, to be unavailable to indifference no matter where I am. So let me invite you to two exercises as we close. One is to take a deep breath and hold it down into the basement of your lungs. On the count of three, take the deepest breath you can. Call yourself to attention and take good care of yourself with good breathing. Here we go. One, two, three. Inhale. And hold it. And exhale. That exercise, simple as it is, rejects indifference. It means I have to pay attention to be alive and to be alive to love. Second exercise that I challenge you to and invite you to every time we gather here is to look somebody in the eye, give them your full attention, reject indifference, and say the three most holy, magical, and charmed words in the human language. Yeah, it can be awkward. It's because we're unaccustomed to intimacy. We're unaccustomed to being connected. We're more accustomed to being disconnected. But in a few moments, connect with somebody. Take a few moments today. Find somebody and be connected. And say three words with eye contact. I love you. Those three words are life-changing. Those three words are far from indifference. Those three words really challenge us to be a part of somebody's life, even if briefly. Yeah, I know we have to be somewhat discerning. We have to be somewhat conscious of who we're saying it to. But in our consciousness, reject indifference. Be a person of power. This world is looking for powerful people. Not bullying people, but people of radiant love. Thanks for being here again today on this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love, and I'm inviting you to do the same thing. Now go out and be powerful people and say those three words, I love you. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.